So, all right, give me something that you got in the truth that you want to talk about, that you want to give away. 1920. What you see there?
It says, hear the counsel. Got to listen.
Got to listen.
Receive instruction that he may be wise in your latter end.
That early. Hear it while you're young.
And I'm at my latter end. So
come on.
To be listening.
Yeah. See, you, one thing about God's counsel, his solutions for life, they endure. And as this verse said, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days, that you may be wise in days ahead, that you can count on what you receive from God today to continually advise you and give you counsel for years down the road. They don't change is the principle, the idea. So for, remember, we've seen how Solomon continued to give instruction to his son, to his children, to his son, to the children, to the young man, to the simple. Seek God early. First, early. Seek him early. Listen to good counsel. He's talked about a lot about counsel, how we need to be surrounded with good counsel because we have blind spots in our life and we need to listen to what people are seeing and hearing and we're to judge everything. Remember, we're to take everything captive. And it's good to know these words of wisdom so that we can receive this instruction and it's going to help us not only today, but it's saying it will be as much as value today to you in your older days. This is not something for you just down the road. It's for you today. And what you glean today is going to be beneficial for you. Even when, if you make it to 80, 90, 70, whatever it is, these truths do not change. They work for the young man and the older man. Young woman or the older woman, it doesn't matter. They will be with you. They'll be of great help to you. Look at verse 27. Verse 27 says, cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. So there you have it. It's not that we just listen to it now and it's going to benefit me down the road. No, these are to be beneficial to me now. They're to be beneficial to me tomorrow. And they're to be beneficial for me every day. And I got to keep listening because if I stop listening, what am I going to do? I'm going to stray. So they are unchanging, but I've got to keep going back to them again and again and again. I can't neglect them. They have to reinforce me and strengthen me again and again and again. And we're only as strong as we are wise. Amen. We're as only as strong as we are wise. We have to, our wisdom is where we're going to be reinforced in the work of the Lord. And I can't cease. I can't mute that. I can't put it on pause and go do something else and expect not to stray. I can't mute it. I can't stop it. I can't shut it off. You know how all of us are. Everybody has a tendency to whatever kind of mood, whatever kind of feeling you're in will depend on the things you listen to. The type of music you may listen to will depend on what kind of mood you're in. The things you watch on TV depends on what kind of mood you're in. The things you eat often will depend on what? What kind of mood you're in? How you feeling? You see, but we can't let our lives be governed by how we feel and the mood we're in. Because if we do, you know what we're going to wind up doing? We're going to cease. We're going to mute the things of God and we're going to stray. Because you're not always going to feel like hearing from the Lord. You're not always going to feel like you need a word from God. You're not always going to feel like I need to hear God's message of comfort or God's message of rebuke. And we are the ones responsible for what we put ourselves before. Look in verse 16. Look in verse 16. Remember, none of this is accidental. That's why he says, if you cease intentionally or accidentally, in the sense that you wasn't paying attention to what you were doing, and you just kind of stopped, got out of habit of hearing, you're going to stray. It's just inevitable. It doesn't matter how much you know today. You can be so full of the things of God and the ways of the Lord, but you shut the fountain off, you're going to stray. Yeah. It's just inevitable. It's going to happen. Doesn't matter who it is. Solomon is the greatest example of that. You couldn't be no more fool than he. But you see, he what? He would cease listening to that instruction. And what happened? He strayed in what he was doing. Verse 16 says, he who keeps the commandment, that is a continual thing. Notice, keeps. What are some of the different translations read in that first phrase? He who keeps the commandments keeps his soul. Keepeth, that is a continual thing. Yeah. So to keep your soul in the right place, you got to keep what? You got to keep the word. You got to stick with it. And the idea of the commandment is dealing with a precept, a way of God. The commandment is what? Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart. Love your neighbor. Yeah. So you got to keep that before you. You got to keep, to do that, you got to keep listening to that instruction. You can't push it away. If you mute it and turn it off because you don't feel like hearing it, what are you going to do? You're going to stray. It's just inevitable. But notice the second phrase in there. But he who is careless of his ways will die. You can't approach this carelessly. That is saying, throughout the scriptures, the Bible teaches us to be careful. To be careful to observe all these things. To be careful, not careless. To be careful. Why? Because we are all creatures of habit. And if I'm careless with the things of God, that's going to manifest in my behavior. And my behavior is going to reflect in my spirit or in my mood or my feelings. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to mute. I'm going to turn off the volume of hearing from God, and I'm going to turn the volume up on hearing everything else. And when I do that, what I'm going to do? I'm going to stray. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how much you know. I'm telling you, it does not matter. What you know. That's why Jesus would tell us that he did nothing unless he what?
Heard.
I mean, he knew everything. Who was he?
God.
He was God. But he says, I don't depend on myself. What was he teaching us how to live? How to be dependent on our Father, to hear from him. Because if we're not, what happens is we become careless. And we become careless, we become moody. We operate with our feelings, not governed by our relationship with the Lord and hearing from him. And if we're not governed by him, we're not guided by him. And if we're not guided by him, we're not going to be in the position of being graced, that sufficient grace needed to walk with him, simply because we're just not in a place that we need to be. For an example, when Lauren, she'll FaceTime us, or when the grandkids FaceTime us, and they FaceTime us quite a bit. They got the little app in Messenger, and they can send us a little Hazel a call, or Rosalind, or Julia Rose. They'll send us a little message. The phone will go to ringing, and there may be other stuff going on in the house at the time, whether we're listening to music or the TV's going. What do we normally do? we pause it, or we put the TV on mute. Why? Because we can pick up that later. I can't have that blaring and listening to them or trying to pay attention to them. I got to put something on mute, and I'm going to put whatever is not as important to me on mute at the time so that I can focus in on them. And we do our best to answer when they call. We don't want them to, we can't do it every time. Sometimes I may, if they're trying to get a hold of Steph, she said, I can't talk to them right now. Would you send them a little note and let them know that honey's busy and she can't talk, or vice versa? That happens at times. But usually we try to either get back with them and let them know, because we don't want them to keep trying to call either one of us and they can't get us. And but when they do call, we want to give them our attention. And if we've got something going on, we kind of speed the conversation up and say, look, we got to get back to this, or we're here, or we've got somebody over, or we're doing this. And they say, okay, well, call us later. And sure enough, they're going to call back later that evening. They're going to call us back. But you see, we mute things. Like my dad, I call my dad. We had a childhood friend. His wife died a couple days ago, and I thought about calling him that he may not be aware of it. And the news was on, so I walked to the back. So one, the news wouldn't overpower me trying to talk to him, and I could hear him and he can hear me. And it was 5 minutes before I walked over here, so I told him, I said, I don't have but a minute. I'm walking over to the church, but I thought about it. You probably wasn't aware of it. And but see, I got out of that place so that I can communicate to him. And the same principle here. When you cease listening, that's saying I turn the volume down on the Lord and turn the volume up on other stuff. And I've got to be called. Who am I turning the volume up on? Like Greg with his hearing test today. You know how I'd imagine they've turned the volume up a few times. That was determined, okay, what can he hear? How well can he hear out of his left and his right ear? And this is what we see when he says that in verse 27. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Amen. And knowledge is pleasant to the soul of him who has understanding. So, and that's what we've been seeing as we've been going through. He's been talking a lot about knowledge, about understanding, about wisdom. And we can pull a lot of these things together as we look at them. And but verse 16, again, like I said, he who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. So you can't separate the commandment from keeping your soul, meaning that's going to hold it together. That's going to guard. The idea in keeping is keeping your eye upon to guard something. If you're going to guard your soul, which he's already told us to do that, right? What did he say in chapter 4? Look in 4:23. What does 4:23 say? 4:23 says, keep your heart. Amen. Guard your heart with all diligence. So remember, you can't be careless in this. You can't let your emotions or your feelings or your moods, or being a creature of habit, which we normally are, we can't let those things dictate to us what we listen to and don't listen to. You always got to keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of the heart springs the issues of... And if you get careless, what did he say? You'll die. And we know what that idea of dying has several dimensions and layers to it. Remember what he told Adam and Eve? In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely... Now, they didn't die physically, but they started dying physically. They were headed down the wrong path from that point on, and all that fell upon us. When you operate independent of God, the only thing that comes out of that is deception, death, and destruction. And that's the idea here. If you're careless with this, If you're careless with keeping and guarding your heart, it only leads to death.
Amen.
You spew death. That just flows out of you. You're just misleading other people, because what happens is your children and grandchildren, your friends, your family, others, you know what you're telling them? That I can live life without intimacy and fellowship with the Lord in the Lord's ways. That's what we tell them. That's what it says. Our witness says you can make it without it. But we know that's not the case. Jesus said we can't do anything of any eternal value without Him and His presence in our life. Amen?
Amen.
And His commandment, His word, His message to us is what? It's life to us. It's our wisdom. For example, go look in Deuteronomy. Let's just look there real quick. Deuteronomy, I think it's Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. Carolyn, you was in Deuteronomy, wasn't you? That's in the front part of our Bible, hon. The first five books. Deuteronomy. The old Jews called that the Torah. The first five books of the law. The Pentateuch. Look what he says, I believe it is, let's see. Look in verse number 1. Let's start in verse number 1.
Chapter 4.
Yeah, chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And the word Deuteronomy actually means second law. It's the second law. It's a series of messages that Moses preached to reiterate what he had already been teaching right before they were wrapping up their time in the wilderness wanderings. And he preached three messages in Deuteronomy to the people to prepare them and Joshua to take over the leadership. In Deuteronomy 4, he says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to what?
To do them,
to observe them." Now, he told Joshua you wouldn't be able to do it unless you meditated on it. Got to meditate on it. Got to give your heart to it. That you may what?
Live.
And go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you. Remember, he who keeps the commandment keeps his what? His soul, his life. That's where we see in it. This is where this is rooted in. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, and the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed. Verse 4, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. God kept you alive. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments just as the Lord your God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful. Remember, not careless, but what?
Careful
to observe them. Notice what the next phrase says. For this is your what? This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all the statutes, and they will say to you, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. You see, the witness will point people back to the one who gave you this wisdom to walk in. And if our witness is not pointing back to a way of living that a way maker gave us, what is it pointing to? And that's what's so fundamental with those around us who know us. They say, well, why do you do what you do? Why do you live the way you live? Why do you talk the way that you talk? Why do you communicate the way that you do? Well, this is why I do what I do, who gave me a word to live on and who sustains my life, who takes care of me, who feeds me, who's given me a way to live. And then your witness and your worship and your words point them all back to the Lord. That's why it's so fundamental. And if what? If we cease listening to this wisdom, what do? We stray. And what do we have them have the point back to? When you're straying, all you can do is take credit for yourself or give credit to something else that you've turned the volume up on. And we live in a society today that gives credit to everything else. Amen. Because the volume of everything else in their life is turned up. And what have they got on mute? The Word of God. They got it. They've ceased listening to instruction. And what are they on? They're on a path to destruction, toward death. Now, we want to try to help people. We try to stand in the gap and try to turn people because God's going to hold not only us accountable with what we have, but He also holds us accountable for what we share. Amen. And how we attempt to turn people back. And so all these things, I mean, let's read that verse 6 one more time. Therefore, be careful to observe them, what He's given us, for this is your wisdom. That's why I've told y'all before, if anybody tells you to stay away from the Old Testament, stay away from them.
Come on.
Stay away from them, because they have no idea who God is.
Amen.
They have no idea what God has spoken over His people. They have no idea that what Jesus lived by and how we lived, who paid our ransom and lived righteously before God, God's way to Him was His wisdom. And He fulfilled that becoming our wisdom unto us. So if anybody ever tells you to avoid, we see this in our modern day. It's going to become more and more, more and more prevalent. You're going to see it more and more. If anybody ever tells you that you should take a break from the Word of God, or you need to take a break from gathering with God's people and stay away from the Word, I'm telling you, dealing with the devil. Stay away from anybody or any group or any organization will tell you to stay away from the Word of God.
Or you don't need to bring your Bible to church. I mean, there's so many. Just don't break. We're gonna throw what I'm preaching up here onto this. Don't have your own word, your own copy. And I'm telling you, I like to follow every preacher, every time. To see.
Right. Yeah. You need a copy of the Word of God. If you can get a copy, you need a copy. Not everybody can get a copy in various parts of the world. But if you can get a copy, you need it. Yeah.
They're gonna tell you.
Yeah, it's a modern stuff. They'll tell you a lot of things today to get you into their way of thinking and all that. I just every time I see, every time I hear, every time it's just such a red flag that says, do not listen to another word that person has to say. If they ever tell you, you don't have to spend time seeking God's will through the message that He's revealed to us. It doesn't matter how successful they look. It doesn't matter how well together they are. None of that matters. Matter of fact, God even tells us in this book of Deuteronomy, there will be days when He allows certain people to do things that will just blow your socks off, that miracles take place. He says, but I'm testing you, because these same people will also try to get you to deviate from what I've already told you. And if they do, I'm letting you know that you're dealing with a devil. And I've given that person an ability to accomplish things to put you to the test, whether you love me or you love the miracle.
Come on.
You love the success or you love me. You can't. None of that has weighs anything within the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter who it is. I was reading something. There's a guy out there. His name's John Eldridge. He's written quite a few books in the last little bit. He wrote a book about Wild at Heart. Y'all may have seen that come out a few years back. He's one of those humanistic guys that appeals to the humanistic nature of men. And his teaching is corrupt to the core. He's one of them, says that one of the best things that has ever taken place is when he put the Word of God down and stayed away from it for a year. He says when God kicked Adam out of the garden, that was the best thing he could have ever did for Adam, because when he created Adam, he created him, there wasn't no garden, that he created him to be wild at heart, to be an adventurer and go after stuff. The guy's messed up, and he's got thousands of men that he appeals to that follow after him. And I just tell you right now, if you see his stuff, unless God does something in grace to change the heart of the man, I would burn anything you got that belongs to him. Just burn it, because it ain't worth nothing. It's coming from the pits of hell. Because he also will tell you, you can make it in life living according to your heart. God put these things in your heart, so whatever your heart desires, that's what God wants you to do. And everything we read about the truth says that's a lie. And so I just tell y'all, if you, man, if you got a book, just use it to start a fire with. Burn it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. As we see here, look, this is our wisdom.
Amen.
And when people see you how you're living and they see the wisdom you have, that is to point them back to who? To the truth.
Yeah.
To what Jesus is doing in you and the message that he's given us to live out. Amen.
Amen.
So we can't, look, you got to turn the volume up on the Lord. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
You've been riding down the road and a song come on to you that just got you, and you turn it up. Stephanie knows I like, if I listen to the music, I like it blaring. And if there's a good song on there that I like with a good message, I'm gonna turn it up. And
you ain't riding with you.
No. Now I am courteous when I'm with other people, but if it's just me and it's just her, I'm going to turn it up to the things that I enjoy. Now, the point we want to make in all this is that we can't treat how we operate in everyday life, if we're not careful, our feelings, our emotions, our spirit will govern the things we listen to, things we pay attention to, the things we turn up or the things we turn down. You ever been in a something happened and you was just in a bad spirit and a song come on that you surely didn't want to listen to, so you just hit the skip button? Even though the song's good and you like it, but you knew it was just not going to do any good to you right now. Matter of fact, it was just going to let you wallow in your misery a little bit more, so you skipped the button. You didn't want that help, so you skipped the song. Or vice versa, you're having a pity party and you're having a song and you want that song to help you feel bad about where you are, and you're going to go listen to it. Well, you see, we've got to be very cautious to letting those types of things govern us consistently, because what's going to happen is it's also going to translate over, and we're going to let that dictate the things we listen to with the Lord. And it's most often when we feel like we don't want to hear a specific thing from the Lord is when you need to hear that specific thing from the Lord. Are you with me? That's when you need to hear it, when you don't want to hear it. That's when you really need to hear it. So you can't let your feelings or your mood or your spirit govern that. You want to hear, because if not, once you start down the path of straying, drifting, it's often what God does to get us back onto the path is to hear the things we didn't want to hear.
Come on.
You see, that's where that rebuke and correction comes in. And you see, if you rebuke a wise man, he just increases in learning.
Come on.
But if you're acting like a fool and a scoffer and you get rebuked because you've been straying from the words of knowledge, you lash out.
Yeah.
at the person that's coming against you. You don't want to hear that. So we have to just be cautious and use discernment and ask God to help us with these things. So 1920, 1916, 1927, Proverbs 4:23, Deuteronomy 4, they're all like a wheel that just rolls perfectly together. Amen. That, hey, God is in this. Listen to what He has for us. Keep walking with Him. Keep talking with Him. Let Him govern how you live. Amen? Amen. Let Him govern how you live. Father, we thank You tonight. We bless You for the time we've had, for the truth that You've given us. Lord, we just pray right now that You help us with these things, and Lord, that you would open the eyes of people all over that pay attention to the lie, that gravitate toward the falsehood, that gravitate toward the humanistic teachings of people who seem to have it all together but are just misleading Your people in their daily life. I pray that You would deliver us, and I pray You always put us in a position that we're just as prone as anybody else to stray if we turn off the sound of Your precious voice and Your presence and what You're doing in our life. Lord, we don't want to stray. Lord, we want to walk in Your wisdom, and we want our wisdom that we're walking in point people back to You and what You're leading us in and through. So thank You. We bless You, and we thank You for the value of Your precious word to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now,
yeah, yeah.
Not necessarily for to be talked about 1,000 years.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I mean, you agree with me or not?
Yeah, on some of it, yes.
And that there is some good stuff in here, but I just got to noticing that all of a sudden my note taking dwindled off. Just down to, you know, I hadn't really, and I've gone, this is.
Right. Some of it's going to be historical, you know, and how they're giving some history.
Yeah. But it's just all of a sudden, and I'm going, well, and then I got back to Cora.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden now
the notes start picking up again. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm just saying, well, I don't know if it's me or if it's, did I discover something?
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, as far as like what is being spoken to you to jot down notes in, like, let's see here. You're talking about 73
started. It's when it started.
Mm-hmm.
And then but as it went on, it started dwindling. Got, you know.
Yeah.
So you got gaps in here. Ain't got much in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What verse is it? All right, go keep moving. See, you got large gaps in here that you haven't made a bunch of notes on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that it's wrong.
Right, right.
I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying it just hadn't spoke to me. And then
right.
When I got to 85, started back up again, the notes started going back.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's a different writer.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's speaking in more general
terms. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I see it. I see it. Yeah.
Anyway.
I see it.
And I got to work today, tomorrow, and Friday.
Come on, make it a dollar.
Tuesday, Monday, and Tuesday. I was off a little bit today, and then tomorrow and Friday, I got to make it. I got to do it.
Got to get her done.
I got to get it out.
You gonna take Miss Pat with you?
No. Nah, she got to go get groceries tomorrow. So I'll be at Tim's tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because I got to get a few things getting ready. Christopher brought, he got a quarter cow. quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And she says it does happen, but
he brought some steaks over.
Ooh, watch out.
For the trip.
Sounds good. When y'all leaving?
The 29th.